WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Jacques Williams is an entertainer extraordinaire. He is a DJ. He is an interviewer. He has his program on cable, and he is also a programmer, a broadcaster on WAPJ with the Feel Good Show, one of the most popular programs on the WAPJ station. It is my pleasure to have Jacques here because Jacques had the extraordinary opportunity to have an exclusive interview with the one and only Phil Donahue. And there's a very special reason why that had significance for Jacques. We're getting into that story. We're getting into so much more here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. Jacques, thank you for coming in early before the Feel Good Show so that we could have this conversation. I'm looking forward to it immensely.
My pleasure, JT. I'm here and raring to go.
You know, I just wanted to say at the onset, I've always been very, very grateful for the opportunities to go on to the Feel Good Show. There are many times where I've been able to visit you on your program and share information with the listening audience, things that are going on in the community, often things theater-related, because I cover a lot of theater-related things. And so it's. I just wanted to say at the onset, thank you for all those opportunities that you present to me that I'm able to then share with the listening audience in Torrington.
Well, JT, you're a big part of the team now, and you came in like gangbusters, and I couldn't say no, and you took over the show. So what else am I supposed to do?
I appreciate it. And in this particular context, I think that there is an extraordinary story that I want to get out there and share. And it's a story that involves you, because you are ubiquitous in Torrington and the Litchfield County area. I can tell you from personal experiences, even before I joined WAPJ, when somebody was looking for a DJ for a particular event, I recommended you to them. You are ubiquitous within the area. And so I think when I think of Jacques Williams, I think of Litchfield County area, but you weren't born in Litchfield County. In fact, you were born or you grew up in Dayton, Ohio. Is
yes.
that correct? And that's a very important factor because of a person that you interviewed just recently on Constitution Day in Connecticut.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you for arranging the interview and putting me in touch with Joan Bowman at the Museum of Tort Law. It's a beautiful museum. I've had the opportunity. In fact, we covered an event for our cable TV show that we have for the Chamber of Commerce. So I was introduced to the museum a while ago. However, because of your associations with Mr. Nader and your work in the community with the chatter, because of Phil's connection with Ralph, you were able to arrange for me to talk to Phil. So I really appreciate that.
Tell me about growing. You're welcome. My pleasure, of course. I thought it was a fantastic interview. We're going to listen to just a snippet. We're not going to listen to the whole thing because people are going to be able to listen to that fully on your program. But I wanted to ask you, Jacques, when you were growing up, did you watch the Phil Donahue Show?
Absolutely. Phil was an institution in our community. He had built himself to a nationwide reputation as well. And he was instrumental in terms of my worldview. As a young person growing up, you have people that you look up to. And he just happened to espouse those same values that were being taught to me by, you know, some of my more influential teachers and my parents and my family. Grew up in a military family, so that was a big part of my ideological mindset. And it just so happened that many of the shows that I was most intrigued by happened to have Mr. Nader on him.
We've learned that Ralph Nader is one of the most featured guests,
yes,
on the Phil Donahue show. Let me ask you this. You watched early episodes in real time when it was on television in Dayton, Ohio, and you saw Ralph Nader on the Phil Donahue show.
Yes. And although Mr. Nader had done diligent work as a consumer advocate, most of the shows that appealed to me more were involving his presidential campaigns.
Okay. Yeah.
And that hit me at a particularly unusual time, because even in my rather limited developing thinking back then, I could feel those urges for the necessity of a third party, because I felt like the two-party system, back then, the situations and the circumstances were a little different, but it seemed like to me that they compromised on the wrong issues. Not that compromising was wrong,
mm-hmm,
but some of the issues that they were compromising on, to me, were not beneficial to the American people as a whole. And most of those issues, I must tell you, involved NAFTA.
And as a result of seeing those type of programs, you felt kind of an affinity for not just Ralph Nader and Phil Donahue, but also an affinity towards politics, because you entered the realm of politics as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it regardless of politics as well, there's always room for involvement within the community, and you are heavily involved in the community. Could you share just a number of the things that you do? Like, you're on a number of committees, correct? Or especially one on arts and culture.
Well, this is something else that might bring this narrative a little closer to home, because I started out, my first instincts were athletics, and, you know, during school and whatnot, you know, it's, you know, you become popular, and, you know, I just think sports is a great metaphor for life.
Absolutely, yes.
And I enjoyed it while I did. However, I did have these artistic urges as well. And after a particular situation happened in college, which I'll go into, I'll talk to that about it at another time.
Fair enough.
However, I just felt like the arts was, you know, a place for me to go, which was kind of unusual because, you know, it wasn't like, you know, being a painter or a sculptor, that type of art. But I always felt that I wanted to use music as a way to bring people together. And I was taught that by a lot of the musicians that I was working with at the time, because their outlook, their cultural outlook, was involving, you know, giving a message with your music. And the musicians that were influential at that time, Stevie Wonder, Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know, groups like that, social edification was a very important message in their music.
And what was the first song that you worked on? Was it a song with lyrics, or was it a song that was instrumental in nature?
Well, actually, that was the first song I worked on was in third grade with my glee club.
Fantastic. The chances are there were words.
But once I started, you know, looking into music in terms of an actual business.
Right, right.
It was a song that I was working on with a very popular R&B band back in the day called the Ohio Players. And they had great hits back out in the day called Skin Tight and Love Roller Coaster. And being from Dayton, that was kind of the big thing back in the day, because there were a lot of bands that were very popular, and, you know, Dayton was accredited with a musical technique on the bass called, I don't want to say the wrong word.
That's okay. This is a daytime program, so we'll leave it to the imagination, but it's the bass.
Yes. Basically, it's called slapping the bass.
Okay.
So, and many of the bass players that, you know, were heralded in that particular era was very familiar with that technique, and it became popular, and a lot of bands from the R&B and funk worlds were very instrumental with it, pardon the pun.
Well, speaking of instrumental, we're going to leave for just a quick break, but we'll leave with some instrumental music from Jacques Williams, and then we're going to be right back here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. In the break, we just heard a little bit of some music from Jacques Williams. Jacques Williams is an entertainer. He is a host on many different events. He's a DJ, and he creates music. We've been talking about the music side of Jacques Williams. Growing up in Dayton, Ohio, there was a specific movement, especially involving the bass, and that's something that you gravitated towards.
Yeah, it was part of the scene. But I was also very fortunate to be able to work with Dr. Terrence Wong at the University of Dayton, who was our choral instructor. And we also had a dance group that was formed out of that I was able to help be a team captain for. And also I was fortunate enough to work with Lauren Plant at the Sinclair College, who was very popular and well-known music and voice teacher, and I had pleasure to study under him. And then, as I was mentioning earlier, having the opportunity to work with some of the successful bands back in the day, and who were touring the world, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time where I could, you know, meet and work with some of these artists. And plus, too, my dad, growing up in the Air Force, he used to book bands at the NCO Club on the bass. So some of the more popular bands, you know, he was very instrumental in helping them get their starts and touring and getting out there. So after my little athletic thing, you know, it was very obvious to me that I was going to be doing more things. And in the world of arts and culture, I acted a little bit and, you know, met Rob Lowe and got some advice from him in regards to certain little things that you want to make sure that you're mindful of as you pursue the business. One which I'll share is he always said that you no matter what you do, you always want to leave an element of mystique. You always want to create a narrative, but you don't want to tell the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Wise words from Rob Lowe.
Yes, he said you always want to make sure that your audience always has are inclined to ask why. So that advice came to be instrumental throughout my time. What happened, though, was as I was learning more about the business, it was suggested to me that in order to really get a footing in the business, probably need to go outside of Dayton mm-hmm. in order to learn the ropes and, you know,
expand and grow.
Correct.
And also go to where the action is, so to speak. It sounds to me like there is a lot of action as far as the specific music that you really enjoyed, but you were looking to expand elsewhere.
To learn more about the business, to, you know, increase your network, make contacts, which is what brought me to New York City, to Manhattan. I was working with BMI, Broadcast Music Incorporated at the time, learning more about their writer relations department, working with Mark Fried and Hillary Yeager at the time, who were two just very people that were dedicated and committed to helping artists achieve their goals.
And that's something that I feel like you do now, correct?
Yeah.
So that's something that that's kind of a through line through your career in entertainment and music. So you moved to New York and you started working for BMI. Did you like that type of work?
I did. And I'm still, you know, affiliate today. And that's part of the foundation that, you know, groups like that can provide for an artist as, you know, they're trying to navigate their way through the terrain. As a result of that, I got hooked up with the Yale creative community and relocated to New Haven and spent some time there, which was a great opportunity for me. I happened to get lucky and get a bartending gig at the Holiday Inn on Whaley Avenue. So I get this call one night, you know, like it's like 2:30 in the morning. I'm like, why are they calling me this late? You know, come in and whatever. So I go in, setting up everything. And next thing I know, Tim Lauder from the Marshall Tucker Band is there, and his guys come in right after that. So from that experience, it was like I started meeting a lot of the performers that were playing at Toad's Place, because that was the the venue that was there by, oh my goodness, Public Enemy, Joan Jett, her people, Lenny Kravitz, you know. So that was a great experience. But a friend of mine who I was working with at the time, who was a musician from the School of Art, the Hart School of Music in Hartford, he says, you got to check out Torrington. And I'm like, I've never even heard of Torrington at the time. He goes, dude, it's God's country up there. You'll love it. I'm like, whatever. So we're coming up Route 8. I'll never forget it. Right in the middle of fall foliage. Mm-hmm. And something just popped, you know? And we came into town. At that particular time in town, P. Sam's was on Water Street. Drove in, they were doing karaoke. We went in. I hear this voice on the other side of the bar. It's like, hey, kid, you, come here. And I'm like, you can't be talking about me, right? So I go over. He goes, yeah, you. He goes, you're not from here, are you? I'm like, yeah, that was a pretty good logical deduction. But he goes, something about you, kid, I like it. Have a seat. So had a seat, bought me a beer. And he was like, yeah, if you ever need anything in town, just let me know. I mean, I hadn't even been here. I mean, I hadn't even planned on anything. Mm-hmm. But that type of warmth and hospitality made a very big impression on me. And kind of, you know, you plod your way kind of one day to the next. And the next thing you know, I'm, you know, doing my business and, you know, just kind of making my way through the community. I mean, one of the great things about Torrington is it's a 90-minute market. So, you know, you can right in between Boston, right in between New York. you can go down, handle the craziness and deal with it. Then when it's over with, you can kind of, you know, relax to a little more subtle style of living. And I just think that this particular part of the state has a lot of amenities for someone like me and my particular business or is attracted to.
And, you know, part of your business, or actually a large part of your business, is promoting other people, promoting other events, promoting artists and singers and performers. And you provide a lot of opportunities for people to come and share their talents, as we started off with me describing me being able to come onto your program. But you have the Feel Good Show. You also have the program on cable, which is very popular. And we're going to go to our second break. When we come back, we're going to listen to just a snippet of the Phil Donahue interview, because this is going to be a very important part of an upcoming program. So we'll be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. I'm speaking here with Jacques Williams. Now, Jacques, your program on cable, that adds another element, obviously, the visual element. And it's interesting that you had shared a little bit about the Rob Lowe providing the idea of, you know, giving a little mystery, having a story but not telling the whole story. And I think that's pretty applicable, because what you provide, just as the Jacques Williams experience, if you will, is a persona, but it's a genuine persona. It is the best of you, so to speak, that comes across very clearly on screen when it's filmed. And so I wonder, when did you first get into film, or I should say, filming your journeys as part of this cable show?
It was an organic kind of process that happened. Once you start realizing that the landscape of your business pursuits are changing, videos become a big part of the social media mix, and video became an even bigger part of the musical methodology, you know, back with MTV and all that came out. So this is just the next generation of that. And in order to get your music out there, you have to have a video application to it. So we went down and talked to Cable 5 and took the course and got certified and
How long ago was that?
It was about 6 years ago.
And it's still going strong today. And in that, you were able to have that interview with Phil Donahue. We're going to listen to just a little bit of it right now.
So, Mr. Donahue, here at the American Tort Museum, I just found out that you're one of the organizers and founders of the museum. Not necessarily founder, but you helped Mr. Nader put this together.
Right. Well, it's not often you meet a founder, a legend, who's alive.
Yes, you know? Yes.
So I feel pretty good.
I feel good about it too, Phil.
I immediately thought, wow, Ralph has come up with another good idea.
Right.
And as I had a chance to walk through this place, it's very exciting.
Yes.
It's not a museum of relics.
Correct.
And bones. It's a place that's alive.
Right.
And I know that uncounted numbers of people will find it that way too. And I'm especially impressed with what this will do for young people.
Right. Absolutely.
Welcome back. That was just a snippet of the Phil Donahue interview that Jacques Williams was able to have with the legendary Emmy Award-winning entertainer. And I thought that was great. I thought he had a great rapport together. He was smiling a lot. I was able to sit next to you while that happened, so I was able to see that interaction. I really enjoyed it. And I think that will come across as well for your audience.
Well, I hope so. I wish we'd had more time to speak with Mr. Donahue, because, and as you saw when he interviewed Amar, he was direct with his questions, and he went right there.
Yes, he did.
And I wanted to do that to him, because I wanted the people that, especially back home, who would be able to see the interview, to know that he hasn't wavered.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're right, yeah.
That is why I think my generation really appreciated Phil, because he was a straight shooter with a great sense of humor, mind you, but he used that sense of humor to get across the relevancy of the issue.
Yeah,
and
he did not sugarcoat anything. He went straight for
right.
the topic, and it was a lot of hard-hitting topics. And the professor, he was interviewing Professor Akhil Reed Amar from Yale, constitutional law professor, and it was a fantastic interview. Did you get any takeaways from
Absolutely.
The process?
I hope that we can hopefully have Mr. Amar at a conference or something here, because his knowledge and interpretation of the Constitution, I think, really needs to be expanded upon.
For more information about Jacques Williams, the Jacques Williams Experience, the Feel Good Show, where can they turn to on the internet?
JacquesWilliams.net.
JacquesWilliams.net. Check it out. It's been a fantastic time talking to you, Jacques. I am positive that we will talk some more. I invite you to come back onto the program. We're going to continue this discussion. I think it's fascinating. I hope people enjoy the interview with Phil Donahue.
Thank you very much, JT.
Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. Some music has been provided by Jacques Williams.
Jacques Williams Entertainment.
Entertainment. So we thank them for that. Please stay tuned at 4 p.m. for The Hotspot with Darcy, a fantastic program of music, entertainment, and more. And now we conclude our chat.